And from the KTOO newsroom right here in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. It's been nearly a year since an investigation found that some Ketchikan student fans shouted racist comments and sounds during an annual rivalry game against Metlakatla's basketball team. That came on a country theme night organized by Ketchikan High School's pep club that was widely seen by Indigenous people as an offensive play on the tragic history of Native people's subjugation at the hands of Western settlers. The investigation by Ketchikan School District found that school officials and pep club leaders did not intend the theme to be, quote, racially provocative or insensitive, but the district said at the time that, quote, the negative impact of the theme to our communities was predictable and should have been prevented. Ketchikan's school district has since apologized and pledged to take steps to prevent similar incidents in the future. Now, Ketchikan's school board has reached out to school district officials in Metlakatla to talk about the incident face-to-face. Gitgaya Hike is the president of Metlakatla's school board. She told the board during a meeting on Tuesday that she was approached by Diane Gubitayo, a member of Ketchikan's board, at a recent meeting in Anchorage.
So she approached me and the table we were sitting at, the rest of the board, and introduced herself and stated that the Ketchikan board wants to meet with our board and to help repair the rift that was created from last year's incident.
Gubitayo said that she hopes the meeting is a way to bring closure to the communities. There was an unusual winter bear sighting in the White Mountains National Recreation Area north of Fairbanks. A group of skiers encountered a brown bear while traveling along a trail between two public use cabins. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the bear was not aggressive, but the incident raises the question of whether winter backcountry travelers should carry bear protection.
Barrett Flynn and two friends were on an annual Thanksgiving multi-day backcountry ski trip in the White Mountains National Recreation Area when they saw the bear. Flynn says they were skiing between Crowberry and Lee's public use cabins when his dog suddenly ran to his side.
Came and stood right next to me, which is fairly abnormal for him. Usually it means there's an animal.
Looking through frosty glasses, Flynn says he spotted a furry brown figure he initially assumed was a moose or a large wolf. He says his friends skied up from behind and together they confirmed the animal was a grizzly bear.
I see the hump and I was like, oh yeah, for sure that's a bear.
Flynn says the grizzly appeared young and thin and moved toward them unaggressively.
Curiously approaching, not running or doing anything, but I would say briskly walking towards us.
Flynn says the three stood together and the bear came within about 100 to 150 feet before veering off.
Turned around and scampered away.
Flynn estimates the whole incident lasted about 2 minutes. The encounter could have gone worse if Flynn had been alone or his dog wasn't so well behaved. He says the experience has made him think about winter bear protection.
If I'm going solo, like on a winter trip, yeah, I'm absolutely bringing a gun with me. If I'm going out with, like, you know, one other friend, probably a gun. If it's like 3 to 4, like maybe not.
Flynn reported the bear sighting to the Bureau of Land Management, which oversees the White Mountains Recreation Area. BLM Eastern Interior Assistant Field Manager Levi Llewellyn says the grizzly encounter is likely an anomaly.
You have the norm and then you have an outlier. So the bear might have been an outlier or maybe more bears are awake. We don't know.
Llewellyn advises non-motorized travelers to make noise, adding that bear spray is an option for winter bear protection as long as the canister is kept warm.
You know, I'd put it inside my coat. I would carry something. You know, if you're not going to carry a bear spray, maybe even a firearm to protect yourself, just something that you're proficient with and you're trained on.
Although very unusual, there have been some deadly winter bear encounters over the decades, including a starving grizzly that fatally mauled a woman and her baby outside a remote cabin in the Yukon Territory in November 2018. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
A couple of Sitka residents who were fishing for halibut last month noticed an unusual feature on their depth sounder as they set gear a few miles north of town. 200 feet below the surface of the water, the sounder slowly painted a picture of what appeared to be a volcano, a perfectly formed cone about 100 feet tall with a plume of gas trailing from the top. Experts who have seen the image say it's no cause for alarm. It's most likely a mud volcano, and it's not the only one near Sitka. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Locals don't use rods and reels much to fish for halibut in Sitka. Rather, most set a subsistence skate, a long line baited with a dozen or more hooks that is laid right along the bottom from a slowly moving boat. Jason Schmidt was doing just this in November near the entrance to Nakwasina Sound, 5 miles north of Sitka. Schmidt was on deck, paying out the line.
And then my friend who I was out fishing with was inside watching the depths on the sonar, and he noticed just a weird shape and called me in to look at it with him.
And what was it?
Well, I didn't know what it was when I first saw it, but it certainly looked like some things I had seen before. I think we both immediately saw the cone shape and the kind of trail coming out of it, thinking that it could be an underwater volcano of sort.
Had it been anyone else, this might have been an invitation to head for the hills. But Schmidt is the regional geoscience coordinator for the Tlingit and Haida Central Council. She'd been in Sitka for what has been a very interesting year geologically for the region. Her first impulse was to try and find the feature again and then get on the phone.
I'm aware of kind of the geologic context of Sitka and the surrounding islands, like, and spatially where the Queen Charlotte Fault is and where the Mount Edgecumbe volcanic field is. And this location, we're all kind of just like not adding up with the story that I know about our geology here. And so, yeah, I just called the people who I knew had spent a lot of time thinking about the seafloor here.
It's a classic example of what we have seen out on the qual down around Dixon Entrance.
Dr. Gary Green is a marine geologist, emeritus professor at the Moss Landing Marine Lab, and a leading expert on the undersea geology of the Queen Charlotte Fault.
These types of plumes that come out of this volcanic-like cone are associated with what we call mud volcanoes. And they're not really active volcanoes where magma comes flowing out, but it's mainly fluids that come up from depth and carry with it sulfide-rich gases and what have you.
Green has done sonar studies of the Queen Charlotte Fault that have produced images that are surprisingly similar to what Schmidt and her fishing partner saw on their depth sounder. The term mud volcano tends to conjure up thoughts of destruction, but with a few exceptions, their only similarity to terrestrial volcanoes, like the nearby Mount Edgecumbe, is their shape.
If there's a better term, I'd love to use it, and right now I don't know about one.
Dr. Cheryl Cameron is a state geologist at the Alaska Volcano Observatory, and another expert Jason Schmidt consulted. Cameron is from Sitka and is familiar with the depth sounders people use here while fishing. She hesitates to draw any conclusions from the image Schmidt captured, but admits that there are plenty of possibilities.
A fish finder is looking for reflections within the water column. And so anything that has a density or a sound speed different from that of the rest of the water will cause a reflection. And so that, you know, reflector could be indicating a change in temperature or composition. It could be any kind of gas leaking out of the ground that would generate a plume with a different impedance and thus a reflection. So it could be CO2, it could be methane, it could be fluid with particulates in it. There are a lot of possible causes that are not related to volcanism.
Nakwasina, where Schmidt was fishing, is not within the Mount Edgecumbe volcanic field, but it's right next door. Edgecumbe generated headlines last spring when an earthquake swarm signaled that magma was stirring beneath the long dormant crater. Subsequent radar studies showed that the flanks of the mountain had inflated by several inches over the last couple of years. Although the mud volcano is probably not volcanic, Gary Green says there's not enough information to rule out that it might be related to what's happening beneath Mount Edgecumbe.
It could very well be associated with that magma that's moving up into the cone. It could be that the heat from that magma has started a convection of warm waters, hot waters that are now venting at that locality.
The mud volcano is near a place called the Beehive. Everyone who's been to Sitka on the ferry passes just a stone's throw away. Jason Schmidt didn't catch any halibut on the cone, but that unhappy fact hasn't kept her away.
That's Robert Woolsey reporting. Our colder than normal dry spell is coming to an end here in Juneau. Rain and snow will spread into the region tonight into Tuesday. The clouds just came into downtown in the last hour and a half or so. Tonight we're expecting snow but little or no accumulation. Low tonight in the mid-20s downtown and right around 20 degrees in the valley. Tomorrow that snow is expected to turn to rain with highs in the mid-30s. The rest of the week looks much wetter. A reminder that we need less than a quarter of an inch to fall for 2022 to become the wettest year on record.